This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
I tapped into the National Propaganda Network this morning, and what I did was my first click was on the Drudge Report. And as I was looking at it, the first thing that I noticed is these Blix electric bike ads blasting me in the face. I guess I was searching for electric bikes, which I may have from time to time. That put me on the ad list. And now I'm just blown up with Blix electric bikes. And I'll just say this. I'm sure they're great bikes. I have no interest in a Blix electric bike. This is wasted advertising money. And I can't imagine how much is getting wasted. I mean, this is the way that companies are left to advertise. But before I get to that, I'm looking over the Drudge Report, which used to be a beacon of conservative news, collecting, aggregating. And it's clear that that's not the case anymore. First of all, you got this constant, you know, ad crap backing up and pop-ups everywhere. Just, you know, at every click, at every turn, there's a doggone ad. That's a whole subject in itself. But then you've got the propaganda part of it. Unrest rocks universities. New York City warned of radicalization. Columbia goes all remote. Battle at UCA. Every day, these are the headlines. Faceless people, invisible hands, army video aims to lure recruits for psyops. Brittany Griner opens up about dehumanizing Russia, imprisonment, hole in the ground for it. Who cares? There's a war going on. We're about to hit World War III. The country's being torn apart. There's an election coming up. Not one thing about an election issue here. We just saw yesterday that they say, according to Gallup, this is fascinating news. Gallup reports yesterday that the number one concern for the third week or month in a row or whatever is the border. I don't think people are really worried about the border when they wake up and when they go to bed at night. I really don't think so. That's a bunch of crap. And it just proved to me that it's a giant distraction from the real issue, which is the number one concern that Gallup has always reported as the number one issue, and how conservatives were able to win elections. And that is on the economy. That's how they do it. Okay? This is unbelievable with the ads popping up on here. People, I'm just laughing. I'm going to get to that in a second, but let me stick with the content part of this. So Gallup comes out, plays their part of the international propaganda ring. What do I mean by that? Well, they put the distraction out there. Our study shows that the number one concern for the third week in a row is the border. No, it's not. For the average 25-year-old waking up, has to get to work, has a family to feed. For the 25-year-old guy that's shoving off to work right now and has to come home and face his two kids and explain, you know, why there's not enough money for them to get the latest thing that they want, or they can't go do so-and-so because they don't have the money. Now, this is a normal way of growing up. I mean, young people, it's a struggle, no doubt. We all go through it. But how bad is it exactly? That's the number one concern. I was just looking. I'm driving, like, I need to get gas. That's going to be another $100 just to fill the tank. Every time you turn around, it's not more $10. I don't carry $10 bills anymore. And I'm not trying to, you know, talk like some big shot here. What are you going to do with a $10 bill? Just get 20s. I noticed the ATMs now just pumping out 50s. It's the Ocasio-Cortez budgeting method. Where will she be when this whole thing goes to hell in a handbasket? She'll be long gone. Don't worry. You'll never hear another word from her. She'll fly off with a suitcase full of American dollars to wherever she crawled out from under and go live happily ever after. Here's an ad for Build-A-Sign. I already work with Build-A-Sign. I don't need an ad for Build-A-Sign. They just keep feeding it. What a ripoff. What a complete scam this is. But anyways, I'm looking at these news choices here, or lack of news choices on the Drudge Report. I asked myself, and just to tell you how iconic Drudge Report was in the past, Rush Limbaugh would sit there doing his show with the Drudge Report up in the background. He would actually have it displayed every show, the Drudge Report. And he would keep an eye on the... That's how on top of things Drudge Report was. No longer the case. Tell me where there's a trusted news source. And that's really my point. So what am I supposed to sit here and talk about? You want me to go into this university stuff? It's a trap for conservatives. They're going to blame the Republicans. Don't you worry. Biden will come out and negotiate some kind of great deal. I'll tell you right now. I tell you right now what's going to happen. He's going to use the Obama method to just throw a bunch of money at it. Both sides. Here, Israel, you take a few billion. Gaza, you take a few billion. Everybody just be quiet and go spend your money for a little while. I think they spent sent Speaker Johnson up there to tell him to go back to class. Oh, Biden's not going to do that. Biden's going to say, let him be heard. Let him be heard. We have to protect the people in Gaza. My administration, we're not going to just... And they'll turn it into an advantage for them. And the only people that are going to get screwed are the people in Gaza again and again. I look at all this, I ask myself, what would Rush Limbaugh say? What would he say about all this? What's going on with Harvey Weinstein? Boy, is this story taking a turn. They convict the guy, he's in jail, then it gets overturned while he's in jail. His life has been ruined. What happened to the legal process? What happened to legal rights? This wasn't supposed to be able to happen in this country. Wasn't supposed to be able to happen. But anyway, this is not news. Data, Joe versus Don, stock market, GDP, and jobs created. Let's see what this is. This is a propaganda piece. Facts first. This is called the okay. This page has the comparison between Biden versus Trump across all the metrics we track. With respect to cumulative performance, Joe Biden has performed better on 4 out of 5 of the metrics we track. NASDAQ, Trump did much better. The Dow, Biden's up 2%. S&P, Biden's up 7%. NASDAQ, Trump won. Dow's been up more under Biden, they say. S&P up more. So the stock market run up. But they're going to wait for the crash. I'll just ask you this. And this is interesting how they're using this stock market information. Whatever happened to the Democrats being the party of the people, not the market? They'll just shift. This is the data they're going to use. No opinions, just facts, they say here. I do believe that these numbers are probably accurate. You know, I've said this. The stock market continues to climb, but you need to understand the reasoning for it. It's not due to any genius on the part of Biden or Trump. When you're printing fiat money, and you're creating inflation, everything goes up. The value of the market goes up. That's why the wealthy get wealthier and the poor get poorer. How does a poor person possibly get ahead in this scheme? You know, you'll have the successful people. They'll be, oh, yeah, you just got to work harder, overcome the odds, and that's the American way. Let me tell you something. The American way is about as off track as it can get right now. You want me to point to one simple truth? How about the medical tyranny that we live under? Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. You know what a COBRA plan for a family costs? Right, about $3,000 a month, $36,000 a year. These numbers aren't crazy. Why do you think your employer keeps putting more of the insurance costs back to you? I was looking at this one plan, and the employer was charging $300 or $400 a month, so $4,000 or $5,000 a year to the employee. And it had an eight, and I don't even know what the employer paid, right? So $4,000 to $5,000 to the employee, plus the employer's costs. Then there was an $8,000 deductible on the thing. You got to pay the first $8,000. I say to myself, that used to be catastrophic coverage. How is that now insurance coverage? It's a scam. Then, if you think that's a bad deal, you lose your job, you got to go on COBRA, you're going to get soaked even more. So you say, well, I'm not going to take the COBRA, I'm not going to pay all that. Well, you better not get a heart attack. Better not break an arm. You better not a lot of things. You know, it's unbelievable, really, to me that it's allowed to go on. And then if you don't have insurance and you go to the doctor, what do you think is going to happen? They'll charge you whatever you want. What kind of system is it that you can go into the doctor, you have no idea what the bill's going to be when you walk out? It's the only place. Well, lawyers do a pretty good job of that, too. And then you get hurt, and you got to go to the hospital, and they'll turn around and bill you. You have no control over the costs. They'll turn over to credit, and if you can't pay it, you'll be forced into bankruptcy. You know, that's the number one cause of bankruptcy in this country is medical bills. And if you have anything, you own a home, they'll take it. They're going to take it. They're going to go get it. They're going to take it. Unbelievable, really. And then, you know, you try to go get a job, and they say, well, you got to be vaccinated. I don't know. I went to... I can't really speak to any of that crazy stuff because I haven't any health issues, thank God, that have put me in that category. But I went to an outpatient clinic last year, and I have access to another outpatient clinic that didn't cost me a penny. So I go there, it's like $100 for a sinus issue. It's like $100, man. Holy cow. And I had to go get a couple medications in. Well, then at the end of the month or whatever, I look, there's another $100 charge on my debit card. I called the place, like, what is it? Like, oh, this is the rest of the bill. You didn't say anything about that when I was there. They didn't have my card information. I called the bank. I was like, how does this happen? I swipe it, and they can just put through another charge after the fact? Yeah, they can do that. What kind of scamming systems are in place that allow this to even happen? I'm not making this up. They go there. You don't know. It's not like, this is going to be $100. Before we get started today, sir, this is going to be $100. They didn't get any of that. You go, oh, it's $100 today. Okay, I pay the $100, I walk out, I leave. No phone call, no bill, no nothing. They just take $100. This is how companies are operating. And you don't think the government's going to catch on to this scheme? Why do you think Twitter's trying to get your payment information? Oh, it's coming. They're just going to take the money out. You know, in the interest of national security, because the bills have to be paid, the poor have to be taken care of. You know, all the nonsense that they feed us. Whatever happened to a government of the people that protected us against corporations and companies doing these kinds of nasty, dirty little things to the citizens. Now you've got the corporate America and the government working lock, stock, and barrel. Everybody, they're just feeding their pockets, all of them, and everybody else is paying the bill for it. It's getting out of hand. It really is. And the main thing I wanted to bring up, though, that I started with, is the fact that you can't even have a decent conversation about any of it. Speaker in waiting, Hakeem Jeffries, most powerful in Congress. Good God. If the Democrats, listen, you better take a good look at that guy. If Democrats take control, which is where it's headed, I say give it to them. I really do. All these people that want to continue the conservative fight, it's done. What fight? There's no unity. There's no common philosophy. So you've got a disconnected group paired up against a very well-coordinated group in the Democrat Party. What do you want me to say? You want me to lie to you and say that they're not? That they're not organized? They are. Look at the campaigns. You know, that breakdown I just gave you, you know, the facts of Trump versus Biden, you didn't get any of that from the Trump side. None of it. Just political rhetoric. Trump can't even speak. They've got him locked up in a criminal trial right before the election. Unheard of, really. Who's being hurt most by all that? You say, oh, poor Trump. No, it's us that's getting robbed. There's no two choices for president. This is no different than Russia or China right now. Tell me how it is. What two choices? How do you know how Trump even feels about a single issue? You have no idea. You're going to vote for him? Why? For what? You don't even know what he's going to do. We had no idea. Here it is. You know, May, before the election, there should be debates. This should be heating up. I don't know. Lindsey Graham phone hacked. Okay. They're all hacked. They don't have any privacy either. How can you possibly operate in this environment where everybody's just stabbing each other in the back, nothing but lies and deceit? This really is biblical when you step back and look at it. Science shows how surge of anger could raise heart attack risk. This word science has become like the new biblical authority. This is really freaky to me. So because somebody says science shows that Democrats are dumber than Republicans. How's that? Science shows that Democrats don't debate. Science shows that Democrats are a bunch of deceitful liars. I don't know. Here's a story. Demise of Red Lobster, case study in how to kill a business. Here we go. Another ad. An e-bike for every adventure. Grab the kids or cruise solo. I don't know what this is. I don't want to cruise anything. Let me talk about this ad thing a second. I'm horsing around here. You probably don't know what I'm talking about. So here's an ad for Capital One Business Credit Card, the banner ad, the side ad, another side ad. So three ads, and I guess that's what they go. You got to keep it in front of people so they don't miss it. I didn't miss it. I had no interest in a Capital One anything. I don't know why they're showing it to me. Vet Friends, I don't know, vetfriends.com. Huh, interesting. All right, let's see what the Vet Friends is. There's a relevant ad to me. Vetfriends.com landing page. Get Veterans ID Card. Get your verified veteran ID card today. Access to over 25 million records, 100% name match guarantee. Join over 2.6 million veterans. I don't know what all this is to speak about it, but I don't need any freaking more. Veteran-owned businesses, what is this? Military-owned business directory. Huh, this is very useful. Yeah, I think we will take a look at that. Very nice. All right, well, maybe there's a useful one. I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment on that one. Vetfriends.com. I was just clicking on some of these ads to see what they were serving up here. It's just kind of interesting. And the reason I bring it up is because I think it's just another big scam of the media right now. That they're feeding these ads out that are completely ineffective, is my sense. And they say, oh, we're going to show it to 10 million people or whatever. I really don't know. Maybe for Capital One, maybe it helps them. I don't think so. I don't see how it can work very well. This whole new digital marketplace created quite the fine mess. All right, anyway, Red Lobster's filing for bankruptcy. If you haven't heard, they've been struggling for a while. I had read through the whole story. It was pretty fascinating on how it got started down in Florida. And then it grew to be real big. And the reason I bring part of this up is I used to be a big fan of Red Lobster back in the day when I was younger. I liked seafood. It was affordable for us. You know, it was a chain. I know it was cheap and stuff like that, but you know, maybe not the highest quality all the time or whatever. But I liked it. You know, I thought it was good food. I liked the biscuits and whatever. We did our thing. So it would be a treat once in a while. I was in my 20s, early 30s, we'd go to Red Lobster. And I kind of gave it up mainly because the service was an issue, really. Not so much the food quality. A little bit the food quality. I found, you know, the shrimp were really small. And something I just found that, you know, as I matured a little bit, found that I could get better quality stuff in other places and moved away from Red Lobster. But the big thing was the weight. And I guess, you know, with their low prices and things like that, they would attract a certain crowd around dinner hour. And there would be a mob run on the place. And by the time he sat down after waiting there an hour, he basically pretty angry every time. And I used to sit there and I think, well, you know, why wouldn't they come around with some water or maybe some bread or something, just something to take the edge off a little bit? Could I offer you a glass of water and a pretzel or a piece of bread or something? And they don't want to do it because it cuts into their profits, right? They want you paying at the table, not having a little snack out in the lobby. But they never looked out for the customer, was the point. So then they get into trouble. And they sold, and the company that bought it was like a fund. They weren't really restaurateurs or really interested in anything to do with the restaurant or quality food or anything like that. They just wanted to make money. So they take this deal for a couple $1 billion, and the first thing they did is they spun off the real estate. And I've been involved in leaseback deals, and they're careful creatures, let me tell you. And here's what happens. So Red Lobster, they owned all of their real estate, which is unbelievable, really. They get into financial trouble. They sell the whole thing, including the real estate. The new company buys it, and they say, we're going to sell off this valuable real estate to a different company, and we'll rent it back from that company. It's called a leaseback deal. And the pitch to the real estate purchaser, that investor, goes like this. You know, we're going to buy it back. We've already been running these properties. We'll take care of everything. It'll be a triple net lease. You'll just get a check at the end of the month. Really? Yeah, great deal. And they go out and they attract investors. And let me tell you how that deal works. So they'll go out to high net worth individuals that have tax problems, because every high net worth person has a tax problem. They're looking to defer, to reduce. And without getting into the details, if you've never been there, you don't care. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. And you get to the end of the year, and they're like, you owe X. And you're like, I don't have the money. Like, it wasn't a cash gain. It was an unrealized gain, it's called. Yeah, well, this is the tax bill there, unrealized gain. And nobody cares. Nobody cares. You got to come up with a way to make the money. For years, I played that game. You get to the end of the year, and they're like, you owe 25 grand. I'm like, are you serious? How can that be? You know, I'm supposed to come up with 25, and you got to do it. You come up with the money. 20 grand, 25 grand. I would imagine those numbers are even a lot bigger today. Anyway, that's the pitch to the investors. And then they go to the high net worth. So you got, well, listen, the accountant says, hey, you got to move this money into something else. You're going to get whacked on the capital gains. Okay, here, you can. And a lot of times they'll feed it through the accountants. Hey, listen, I got this buddy of mine calling me. You want to buy some shares in Red Lobster? Not the restaurant, just the real estate. You don't even have to worry about all that operation. No, you're just going to be in the real estate. You just get a check at the end of the month. Look at this solid 6% return, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Yeah, nothing's guaranteed. Well, now the whole thing's going down the toilet. They want to blame it on the endless shrimp. That was just a gimmick. Listen, they should have went in there and changed the dining experience. I think that all these companies today need to be thinking outside of the box in non-digital ways. People want real, tangible stuff. You know, you can go in and put screens up and flash pictures and distract people. But at the end of the day, when you walk out of there and you're hangry, you're not going to forget about that. Anyway, it really is a classic story with Red Lobster. Here's how a capitalist gets involved in Florida, starts this business, builds this business, and then the accountants and the smart people get involved and just step by step destroy it, really. And I think it's a great metaphor pretty much for the entire doggone country, as best I can tell. It really is. I mean, this is exactly what the new liberal government is doing. The liberal progressive government. Forget about conservative. Forget about Republican and Democrat. It does not exist. Do you understand? This new progressive government that we have that knows how to do nothing but throw money at problems. They use science as some kind of arbiter in everything. Oh, this is what the facts. What facts? What are you talking about? You're going to have discussions in facts anymore. You're going to talk about facts, Biden versus Trump, and not include the debt in that assessment? It's all fake. They're going to sit there with a straight face and point to economic growth without acknowledging the amount of debt that it took to grow it. That's not real news. It's just facts, not opinions. Not all the facts. What do you call half the facts? I call it a giant lie. All propaganda. Really crappy situation. I'm actually kind of excited I stumbled on this veteranvetfriends.com. This is very interesting. Veteran-owned businesses? No kidding. Huh. I found a good ad. I made my day. All right, I don't feel like talking about the news anymore. What do you want me to do? Honestly, I don't know how anybody... No wonder nobody's paying attention. Everybody knows it's a bunch of lies. Nobody's interested in Trump or Biden. How could you be interested in whatever either I'm going to do for the country besides make us nuts? They're going to do anything they can to stop Trump. Don't you see with Hamas? What do you see in Hamas with the masks? I'm telling you, did I say it yesterday? BLM 2.0, here it comes. And they're going to pit them. That'll be the civil war. It'll be the conservatives against Islam or whatever, whatever they are, Hamas. I just laugh. The whole thing is funny to me. And people, you can't even have a conversation. Listen, I'm not on the side of these idiot kids at Columbia. Get rid of all of them. Ship them all out of here. I don't know what they're doing here in the first place. Columbia University, as best I can tell, has been nothing but a little terrorist training center there right in New York City. You want me to feel sorry for them? I have none. You want me to feel sorry for the people that send their kids there? I have none. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. The Jewish people at Columbia, I'm sorry. I feel nothing. What the hell are you doing at Columbia University in the first place? You keep putting your money in it. You keep investing. You're creating the problem that you're complaining about. And then you don't like the way I have to say about it? And then I just laugh. These kids are, death to Israel, death to Jewish people. Okay. I mean, they can wave their hands and say it all they want. What are they really doing? This is a joke. These putz kids with their masks. This could be radicals. They're breaking windows. Shoot them in the head. I mean, what are you waiting for? If they're radical terrorists in New York City, shoot them in the head. I don't know what to do. Me either. Anyway, I got to move on because let me leave you with this one. Supercomputer predicts humans will face a triple whammy extinction event. Oh, okay. The supercomputer from the Metro UK, this is from. And what is it? Climate change. I kid you not. Climate change is going to be the end of the world. Oh, boy. Maybe the scientists know better than me. The weather has been, we've had the greatest push of weather. And look, I was like, hey, maybe, you know, we're going to come out on the other side of this beautiful period of weather and it's just going to be this massive, you know, crash in weather. I don't know. But how do you tell me they can't predict that? They're not predicting that anyway. Not at all what's being predicted. So on to other things for a couple of minutes. I won't be back on Monday. I've got other obligations. I sure hope to be back on Tuesday, but there's a chance that I may not be. Don't hold it against me. We'll see what happens. Something different could always happen if I open up some time in between, and depending on the news and so forth and how riled up I get. But right now, my intention is not to be back on Monday, and I may not be back on Tuesday. I will have the Project Chaos radio show on Monday. I hope you get a chance to check that out. But the other thing I want to tell you about is my planter bag garden. And now, let me just tell you, first of all, what we're doing. So there's just three of us, me, my wife, my daughter. We have a couple dogs, so it's not like we need a lot of food. We're not looking to grow all of our own food. This is not what this garden is about. We have different varieties of things on the property, raspberries, pears, some other things. But we're growing some produce, and basically I'm just trying to set up a system that is easy, efficient, highly productive, and easy to scale. Right? So I've settled on these planter bags as there's some refining and all this. And the early results are phenomenal. I'm definitely happy with the way it's all setting up. Should be very easy to do. Very easy to maintain, as best I can tell. A little bit of work getting the bags full of dirt and everything. It's a little more than it appears. You know, a bit of shoveling and moving and sweating. It's all good stuff. But the first tomato plant already has 5 tomatoes popping out on that thing. I was shocked by that. And it's early. It's not even Mother's Day yet. We got the plants out. I haven't had to bring them in at all. I really can't now. They're too big. If we got a cold spell now, which I don't see coming, I'd have to cover them or something like that. But anyway, the first tomato plant has 5 tomatoes on it already. So I'm using planter bags that I got on Amazon. It's probably a better place to get them. You know, you could use pots. People use 5-gallon buckets. And all those have their advantages and disadvantages. The thing I like about the bags, they fold flat. You can store a bunch of them. They're very inexpensive. And I don't know how durable they are as far as how well they last through the season. They say they'll last a couple of years. You can reuse them, things like that. And that's what I intend to do. So we'll see how they hold up long term. And I guess if I continue to use them, maybe I will consider going to a different type of pot. We'll just see what happens. But so far, very happy with it all around. I think it's going to achieve the results I want. What do we have? We got about 4 tomato plants. We have 3 different varieties of peppers, and I don't know, 5 or 6 pepper plants and some cucumbers we're doing this year. And that's kind of the game plan on that. I'll probably do some melons a little bit later in the year, and I'll probably do them in a different spot away from all that because it just doesn't mix well with the tomatoes and whatnot. But very happy with it. And I'll tell you, you look at everything going on. I've cast the warning. All these people out there selling you buckets full of food, and I'm going to tell you, if I were you, I would start brushing up on your skills of learning how to grow your own food, even if it's just a little bit. Every little bit would help. If you think the pressure that could be reduced on food stores and distribution, and right now it's not important at all, I guess, but you start thinking down the road, and I think it could be very, very important. Probably the most important thing you could be doing, really. I see it becoming the number one thing. And the second thing I would say to you, and I don't have a good prognosis on this, but I would start learning how to live without electric if need be. What would you do if the electric went out? I don't have a good feeling about the future. I was thinking about it. I was working outside yesterday. You know, times are pretty good right now. What are we being so doomsday-ish about? But if you step back and look, it's very, very concerning. The fact that we're being lied to every step of the way should be a huge concern, really. Why would they be lying to us if everything's great? It's not great. We're in big trouble, and they don't want to tell us. That's why they keep feeding us continual distractions. And that's one of the reasons why I like being outside. It's real. It's raw. I did. Somebody asked me yesterday, how'd you get so tan? Have you been away? No, just been outside a lot. That's what I like to do. Get outside. I say it. I do it. Grow your own food. Get outside. You'll be happier for it. I guarantee you that. Hey, God willing, I'll be back soon. Tuesday, maybe Wednesday at the latest. I'll see you when I see you. In the meantime, make it a great weekend.